Okay, welcome to Off Script with Toast. I am Will.
And I'm Ashley, and this is the full disclosure of what it really takes to thrive in real estate while balancing family, life, and everything in between. And today we have a guest with us.
Yeah, we get Katie.
Well, hi, everyone.
I think let's do a more formal introduction of like who Katie is on our team and how you guys work together. Do you want to kind of go over that?
Yes, so we follow a little bit different of a model in the Omaha market where Katie and I team up and we essentially share clients and work together on the back end with all of our clients. So I handle all of the listings and sellers, and then Katie works exclusively with all of the buyers on our core team.
Perfect.
The fun part.
Yeah, she gets to do the fun part and celebrate with the champagne and toast at closing, and that is the fun side of everything. But it's been a really good working relationship working with her this year. We've worked together pretty much since the beginning of the year now, it's been, right? And I'm going to have Will go a little bit into what the year looked like with Katie.
Yeah.
Before we get into some of the interview questions of how it's evolved since she's been on the team.
Yeah, so what she just explained with Ashley doing listings and Katie doing all buy sides is what we call our core team. So these two are our core team, and the operations team that we have helps develop all processes that they do, right? Whether it's listing or buy side. And then as we pilot things and perfect them, it gets passed on to our shared services agents who do both buyers and listings. And that's kind of how the team is ran as a whole. So you two have the wonderful goal of selling as many houses as our shared services, and they double and triple your count at times. So I think to say that you guys sell a lot of homes is an understatement. And to see your growth, Katie, over the past 14 months is crazy for me. And it's been more, right? But like 14 months ago, I got a voicemail from you, which I felt like was a great way to start this, right?
When did you bring it with you? I wish we could play it for them.
I didn't.
We can. It's fine.
The voicemail, she called me and left a voicemail saying, hey, I sold my first house today. You put the fear of God in me to sell a house by the end of the week. And I'm so excited. I'm just going to pee my pants for now and wait for you to call me back was the exact line. Mm-hmm. And do you remember how you felt during that?
I was so excited. I was lost. I didn't have a clue what to do. It was my very first transaction. And yeah. I think I just got a little ahead of myself. Yeah.
So we called her back and I said, hey, what's the situation? How's it going? She said, I sold my first house. I'm so excited. And I said, do you have any other offers? She said, not that I know of. I said, did you call the listing agent? Nope. So that was the start of all this. And from that day forward, you probably sold somewhere between 44 or 45 houses. And now,
same process.
Don't call the listing agent. Just leave a message on the brokerage line.
Yeah. So let's start with like, why do you love working with buyers?
Honestly, I feel like it's just the fun part. There's so much enthusiasm when people are buying either their first house or their fifth house. And it's just like, I can't tell you that. I mean, I go into so many houses, but they're so different from one another. And to be able to see the faces of my clients that just light up when they're like, oh yeah, this is the one. It's just like, and almost not every time, but a lot of times I'm just like, oh, I wish this was my house. I just love it so much. But you can just see all the passion and excitement and enthusiasm that they have, and that, you know, this is a new chapter of their lives, that they're moving towards something and really excited about it.
Yeah. I think you have a really brilliant way of melding your personality with knowledge and education. So you're educational to your clients, but you also have this really, really big and loving personality. Everybody loves Katie, so that helps out quite a bit.
I love everybody. So.
Cool. Well, I have some numbers I want to go over, and then today we're going to go through the process of the buyer consult, buyer presentation, and how you've used that to become more efficient with 40 buyers. That's a lot of buyers in one year, right? Mm-hmm. So if somebody were to come to us, Ashley, and say, hey, how the heck would you sell 40 houses and all buy sides, we have the information for you.
Yep.
So you would talk to 1,593 people in the year, which is a lot of conversations, 83 appointments, that equated out to 40. So the cool thing that I have is some of our stats that we keep track of on the year, like scripting and open houses and showings, all that stuff really matters if we're able to track for the year, which has helped us get to a place where we have to find leverage for you, which is hiring a showing assistant, and we know that it makes sense financially. So every time you pick up the phone, you make about, let's just check real quick. Sorry, it's on page three, guys. $102. So every time Katie calls a client, a cold lead, a database, even if they say, no, we're not interested, that's $102 in your pocket. Every time that you're at a showing, you showed a total of 449 houses this year. Whew. Isn't that, that's wild.
That's a lot, yeah.
Now, when we say that it's a lot to digest, you're going to have to show 449 houses to close 40 buyers. You didn't do all those.
Right.
Right. We had leverage. We had showing assistance in there, not a full-time role, but we used showing assistance to help with that, which meant every single showing was equal to $360. Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of neat?
Well, yeah.
When you look at it that way, it makes sense to leverage some of that out because you know you can stay in your lead generation processes by getting somebody else to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's most of the numbers I wanted to go over.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go through the buyer consult and how you've brought your showings per buyer down to 11 because of this earlier year it was a little bit higher. So
yeah. So the reason I do a buyer's consult is, well, number one, depending on the person, I don't necessarily always know the person that I'm meeting for the first time. So I would say first and foremost, I want to build rapport and, you know, see if it's a good working relationship. And because I love everyone, it's like, I always want to work with everyone. So it's very rare that I find someone that, that I don't click with. But I would say, the second thing is I want to build credibility. So because I'm Ashley's buyer's agent, I want to make a good impression for the client, of course, but I also want to reflect well on the team too. So I think building credibility, showing them, you know, because in the beginning when I was new, you know, I can't brag about selling one house so far. So, that, so far. no one's really putting that on the refrigerator. So, yeah, I think just building credibility and, you know, in the beginning, it was a lot of faking confidence and asking a lot of questions. But I'd say the biggest part of a buyer's presentation is getting to know as much about them as possible, because the more information I have about them, then the more efficient I can be and that they will want me to be in the future. And so what I mean by that is, you know, it's not just about asking, you know, how many bedrooms, bathroom, garages do you need? It's because everybody can do that, and everybody can put it on a search list for, you know, a ranch in Bennington with, you know, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. But I think where I like to go a little bit deeper is finding out why is that important. Do you have family that's staying with you? I mean, traditionally, people don't normally get houses with 5 bedrooms. Mm-hmm. So if I hear that answer, then I want to dig a little bit more into it. Or if they've bought before, finding out what went bad in that last transaction that you don't want to repeat again. And you'd be surprised on how many bad experiences people had with people and with their either previous realtors or just with the communication with the whole process. So I want to kind of find those things out in advance and then nip it in the bud. Because ultimately, you know, in the beginning, it went, especially when I was new with first-time home buyers, I was showing, I mean, there's one client I probably showed between 20 and 30 houses, which I know isn't the world record for showings, but it's a lot. And when you start to accumulate more clients and you become busier, it's just not sustainable to do that many showings. And I was getting burned out, and not in the sense that I didn't want to do this anymore, but I didn't have enough time in the day, and I was staying up. I would get up super early, stay up really, really late, and just try and get everything to be put up, you know, in one day. And yeah, I couldn't do it. I was only one person. So I think that was a feeling that through coaching, I didn't want to continue repeating, but I also at the time didn't know that it was such a problem. I thought, oh, some clients are just harder, and it's, you know, it's harder to find things in their budget, and it is. But I think also setting expectations in the buyer's consult is the biggest key, because, you know, if they're saying I need 4 bedrooms and they start sending me listings for 2 bedrooms that could have a conforming basement at some point, it's just realistically it's probably not going to work.
Right.
So
right. Yep. Do you have anything you want to go into there?
No, I think she hit the nail on the head just by saying setting expectations. And I remember when Katie first started, she did what all of us do when we first start of, oh, it's okay, I'll look at as many houses as you want to look at, because it's really exciting when you're a new agent, right? Like, it's fun to go look at houses. And not that it's not still fun to look at houses, but when you're looking at 450 houses in a year, you have to set boundaries.
Yeah.
And be able to set those clear expectations with clients, because, you know, there's no payment until the house closes, as all of you guys know, agents that are listening to this. And so when you don't set those clear expectations and you're running yourself ragged showing 60, 70 to homes, like, that's impossible when you have more than three clients at a time. And so this isn't only good for the client because it's saving everybody time and money, but for your working work-life balance as an agent, like you just cannot sustain at a level of doing that if you're not doing a buyer consult and setting those expectations from the beginning. So we do want to go a little bit into what do you cover during those buyer consults?
Yeah, I will say on before I move to that is that I, at the time, because I'm such a people pleaser, I wanted to help show as many houses just so they didn't feel like they were missing out on something. And so it wasn't so much that I felt like, oh, it's my time and, you know, I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't so much it was my time that I was worried about. It was almost like I'm not able to help all these people that are wanting to also see houses. And so then it's just like, okay, if there's only so many hours in the day where they can see houses, and they can see houses, how am I going to fit all that in? And right. So it would just get very frazzled. And I like to tell people, yes. Oh, yeah, you want to go see a house at midnight? Sure. Yeah, fine. But okay. Anyway.
So we'll go into the process. But I think the stuff you guys are talking about, that time period in the year, to give an example, you were in coaching with Ash and I, and we had a five-week period where you had 79 showings and only one closing.
Yeah.
It was a rougher coaching, right? Like, and not in terms of, like, it was bad, but it was just realizing, hey, we're doing everything for everybody, but we're not converting. Mm-hmm. And then you made a few changes when it came to setting expectations, having probably different conversations at the showings, and then over the next 7 days sold 6 houses.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it's a big mindset adjustment too, because, you know, coming from a W-2 world, sometimes it's like I'm showing up, I'm doing the work, and then kind of forgetting that, well, the ultimate goal is to help somebody buy a house or to close that transaction, and not just to show houses.
Yep.
So
there's a misconception there from agents of, I wouldn't want to sell the first house that I show so they don't feel like they're missing out on others. Mm-hmm. But if you do the buyer consult the right way, your buyer presentation, and you dig into the why, there's no reason you should have to go see tons and tons of houses, right?
Right.
And I think that's the whole point of that mindset shift. So let's go into the presentation a little bit in terms of structure.
Okay.
Do I want to go next? Yeah.
Yeah. Just like the key things that you covered during those buyer consults.
So the first thing that I do in the buyer's consult is I have a portfolio or a binder that has the entire presentation in it. And so first I introduce them to my team, meaning like if they were to also be selling their house, they're going to be working with Ashley. I'm helping with the buy side. And then if I have a showing assistant that would be helping them show houses, if I'm not available to do that, then I don't want them to be blindsided that they could meet this other person. And then once we get under contract, then we have our transaction coordinator that you know, everybody kind of works as part of a team to make everything happen. And so from then, it's just more about the process. So whether it's a first-time home buyer who needs a lot of education, or it's someone that's bought 5 houses, I feel like everyone still deserves to know what happens, whether they have to do anything and it's all behind the scenes or if it's something that they proactively have to do. I think just knowing where you're going down that roadmap is the biggest thing. And I think when people have bought and sold real estate in the past and it hadn't gone so well, it was usually due to missing communication that they had from whether it's an agent or whoever. But I think just making sure we're going through the process. And I always tell them, you don't have to memorize this whole process because I'm going to be there to guide them through it, especially if they're, you know, they're brand new to this and it's so stressful, they think, in the beginning. But my job, I feel like, other than showing them houses and getting them under contract, is to take that stress and put it on me. And then I'm the one facilitating everything. And then I'm communicating really well throughout the process so they know. And, you know, I would say most of the time the process goes well. But every once in a while, if there's a hiccup with something came back from inspection or blah, 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 then, you know, it's just important to have that regular contact with your clients and make sure they know what's going on. Mm-hmm. The other thing is just showing them realistic expectations of what today's market is, because if it's somebody that bought real estate maybe around the COVID time, then, I mean, they could be thinking, oh, I'm going to be spending, you know, 50% more for a house and I have to forego inspections. Or it could be someone that bought beforehand and maybe they bought their house for $40,000 under asking price. And all those things could happen again, but it's important to go over what today's market looks like. And every week it's changing a lot, and we're seeing different things, and certain things get accepted one week, not a chance of having that same thing happen the next week. So just kind of staying up to date with the market and letting them know what we're seeing. And especially if houses are selling at a certain percentage of what list price is, making sure, especially with investors or people that have bought before, just letting them know it might be that way that you could get a deal, but chances are it could be houses are going for 95% of asking price or 97 or whatever that is. Certain times it's over 100%. So
to summarize kind of like that into points, right? Like your first thing is, here's our team. This is what we do. Mm-hmm. This is who to expect to hear from.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're really heavy on this is the process or what we're going to be going through. The cool thing is, as you learn certain things, you can talk about throughout that process of, hey, we're going to watch out for this, and this, and this at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then third is market. What's happening in the market currently? Mm-hmm. And you're using that time, it sounds like, to set expectations. Is there anything you wanted out of expectations set with the market?
No, so I mean, set expectations, and then a lot of times Katie will do, because we're doing a buyer-seller consult at the same time. If she's going on a listing appointment with me and we're kind of killing two birds with one stone, Katie will do a live search to see, based on the criteria that they've presented to her when she goes through criteria of, well, is there anything out there that matches this criteria now? How many that match this criteria? So then she can set expectations of how long it may take to find them, what they're looking for, which ultimately helps me if it's a navigating a double move on the list side of how that's going to potentially look if there's no houses out there.
So does that come after market?
So I typically ask, the first step that I do when I sit down is kind of break the ice, of course, and build the rapport. But I have a buyer consult sheet. It's what we call a needs assessment. And I go through that, and that's the beds, baths, what style of home, what's important in a house. Is it, you know, you have to have a laundry room on the main level or a pantry, all those kinds of things, and location, school district, all that kind of stuff. So your main criteria, just so you can put it into the MLS. And then when I get to the part about where we're running a search in the MLS, right before I put them on a search, then I want to make sure that what I'm going to be sending them is meeting their expectations. And so we'll flip through some of the photos in different areas that there's houses available. And I want to get their feedback. You know, if they are someone that just hates golden oak, then I'm going to put that down in my needs assessment. Not that I can avoid that when I'm sending them houses on a search, but I think it's just important that if I'm proactively going to send them something that it's like, hey, I think this house could be so perfect for you, then they're like, it's golden oak, you know, they could lose their minds. You know, some people just don't want
to
paint it.
To me.
Yeah, she didn't listen to me. So, so I think just showing them what's available on the market, and there's been some people that are like, oh gosh, I thought I could get more for my money. Or there's some people that are like, oh, well, maybe I could go up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that part's so important, like virtual showings in essence, right? Because as you're putting together their criteria, you're going to help them understand if they're realistic or not.
Mm-hmm.
There's zero options or there's 150, and we can filter this down a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's such an important step to this whole process, right?
Yeah.
Here's what we have available. Maybe you're shooting for 10 to 20, right? And then going through pictures to see, again, are we realistic or are we not realistic in this?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And letting him know, because there's certain filters I can't put on the MLS, just letting him know, you know, I want to cut out as much fluff as possible, and I don't want to send them 150 houses that they get notifications on every single day. Because that's not, I mean, some people like doing that and looking at houses, but most people don't have time to look through 100 or 200 houses a week. I mean, I think most of the time they think that's my job to do that for them. So.
That step alone, you're cutting your showings in half, right? Because you're getting an understanding before you even see the first one, what they may be looking for. So we have, here's our team. This is the process. Here's what the market is right now and what to expect, virtual showings and criteria for what house. And then lastly, are we going to?
I do also want to go through out-of-pocket costs. So if it's a first-time home buyer, sometimes they have no idea what it's going to take to buy a house. Some of them don't know about like NYFA programs and first-time home buyer programs that you don't have to really bring any money to the table. So there's a lot of things that I want to educate on that. But if it's a person that's selling their house with Ashley and she's doing a listing appointment, well, what are they planning on putting for a down payment and, you know, closing costs? Are there things that once they talk to the lender, they're going to need maybe it's half of the closing cost paid or more in order to get a transaction. So especially for first-time home buyers or people that are really, really money-pinched, I do set the expectation that it could take a little bit longer because we have to find those sellers that are, you know, willing and able to be able to pay those extra costs. Or if we do come in lower, then, you know, in this market, will it work or won't it? I mean, I'm always willing to have the conversation with the listing agent. I just don't always know the end result until we look.
Until you're in it.
I'm missing anything up until the closing?
Oh, and then paperwork.
Yeah, and then paperwork. And if they haven't already been pre-approved before they meet with Katie, then she's kind of handing them off to like our preferred lenders and everything from there.
Ideally, you're probably pre-approving them before that meeting. And if not, the conversation happens pretty quickly after.
Yeah, generally. I mean, it depends on the person. If I feel like they're skittish, I might try and set that buyer's consult and then try and build the rapport and then, you know, get them excited about the process and then send them to a letter or to a lender. But it kind of depends. Like, you know, I'm still doing a little bit of research on them to make sure that, you know, they're forewarned, they're not going to kill me and we're meeting in person. But
low bar here.
Yeah, low bar. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll ask, you know, high level things. You know, have you gone to the lender before? Are you renting right now? When's your lease end? And you know, are you willing to break that lease? It just kind of depends person by person. But I think early on, I just wanted to practice as many buyer's consults as possible, and then through time, it was easier to get a little picky or who I was going to sit down with.
Yep. Cool. And then as we get to the end of any appointment, right, we have closed. So we're just, we're going to go show houses and do everything. Question I would ask you when it comes to, you know, closing a buyer's presentation or a buyer consult, why the heck would you want to be a buyer's agent when all the rules change and buyer's agents are not even needed anymore? Right. Like that's the mindset we had this year, last year as things started to change. Have you been affected in a negative way or how has that conversation went for you?
No, I mean, I think in February, March time, I think everybody was concerned about what was going to happen. And I think it was just, our culture here is we go to scripts Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we practice all those scenarios. So by the time it actually came to fruition, nothing really changed in my process whatsoever. I mean, maybe we have one more paperwork one more document that they have to sign before we go show. But other than that, it has not changed my life at all because most people aren't dedicated to an agent. And if they are, they've signed that exclusive with someone else.
Right.
And I'm not going to have a buyer consult with somebody that's already working with someone else.
Good. Do we want to go over how that combo sounds or just like?
I think we are kind of running at time. And yeah, do you want to go over like how you go through the exclusive paperwork? It looks like we have a couple more minutes left. So
generally it depends. So when I'm doing the buyer's consult towards the end, I say, you know, before we show our first house, there's two pieces that I need to have you sign. There's two forms that I need to have you sign. One of them discloses my role as a buyer's agent. I don't do dual agent. I'm not also a seller's agent, here in Nebraska. So that's one form. And then the second form is for the exclusive agent. And basically that's saying that you and I are going to work together and that this is the commission that I take for helping on or for helping with the transaction. And generally speaking, sellers do pay for that. But if there was ever a situation where the seller wasn't willing to, A, we could negotiate it, or B, you know, we could talk about it and see if you guys have the funds in order to pay for a commission. But I'll never just surprise you and say, oh, by the way, now you owe me X percent for helping you buy a house. It's just an understanding that we're going to be working together and that, and I generally put a year on the expiration date from today until then. Not that I expect it to take a year, but I mean, things change. And if it does, I'm really bad about just like going back, pulling files, seeing when was that date again. And if I were to do month or 3 months, I would never know.
Right.
And I'd have to just constantly do them. And you know, the things I can control, I want to stay in compliance as much as possible.
Right.
Well, and I think, again, that just all goes back to why the buyer consult is so important, because if you're just meeting a client at a house for first time, chances are they're not going to want to sign a year agreement with you of an exclusivity of working with you and being loyal to you when they don't know anything mm-hmm. about you, what value you're going to add, what the process looks like working with you. So that's why these are so important, because it gives you that opportunity to build that rapport, build that credibility, and show them mm-hmm. how you're going to serve them.
Okay. Right. And if it is that rare, rare circumstance where I am meeting someone at a showing for the first time and I couldn't do a buyer's consult, I'm going to go above and beyond out of my way to try and do somewhat of a buyer's consult while we're walking around. I mean, they're still going to have to fill out the paperwork. And then by the end of it, then we'll either put an expiration date on or an amendment or whatever, which we can always change that later on. But I want them to know that, hey, you know, if you're going to work with me, then this is the process that I go through, and it's going to benefit you. So if it's not the right house when on the first showing that I happen to meet them at, chances are it won't be. But then I do want to say how important it is and try and find those pain points so then we can sit down and make sure they understand how the process works.
Yeah. Well, I think I speak for both of us, and we value you so much and are so grateful you're in our life. And this year has been insane, yeah. right? Like yeah. all the changes, and for you to take the jump of being a buyer's agent yeah. and then stepping up and just absolutely crushing it has been so fun to watch. Yeah. So thanks. We're grateful for you.
Yes.
Any wrap up?
What'd you set a goal for yourself for next year?
50.
50. Mm-hmm. Upping it to 50. So we are hiring for a showing assistant. I don't know if by the time this podcast is out, if we'll have already hired somebody, because I think we're 6 episodes into this now, so we may have, but we currently are hiring for somebody to help support Katie, because she is so busy, which is a great problem to have. And then we're also going to share her needs analysis that she uses during her buyer consult, and a copy or a template that you could download of the actual buyer consult that you can edit and personalize to yourself.
Yeah, love it. We'll see everybody next week. And thank you, Katie, for being on.
Yeah, thanks, Katie.
Thanks for having me.